They're not a good football team. I don't like the vibe right now. I don't like it at all.
It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast here after a dreadful day at the Lighthouse. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, and Lee DeCamper's here from Joe Bucks Fan as well. And we are in stunned disbelief at what happened here today, Ira. But the good news is, if there is any good news, is that you've still got those amazing 0% financing at Bill Curry Ford, a mile up the road on Dale Mabry Highway. No money down, no payments for 90 days. 0% financing for 60 months, and it's on almost every new vehicle. You've got used vehicle offers. You've got the Ira Kaufman discount is in effect at all times. All you have to do is ask for it from General Manager Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford, and you've got their amazing service department, and just go to the website. That's really what you got to do. If you're shopping for a vehicle, don't screw up, and there's more offers coming. BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name. The Curry families own the dealership. Since it kicked off here in Tampa in 1960, they're now third and fourth generation working there. That makes a huge difference. And don't be a fool. Ask Sean Sullivan for that discount and for personal touch service. And he's going to give it to you. In the name of the sage, Ira Kaufman.
In the name of the sage.
In the name of the sage, BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry. Drive Curry. And later, Ira will talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. And I'll lay out what they do and why you need to go to Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Yet another person, it's unbelievable how these things just find their way to me, mostly through people my wife knows. Another person with a plumbing leak, they didn't address it right away. They had some handyman try to fix it. They got mold, they got issues, and they messed up. You have to address these things immediately or you're going to destroy your prime asset, your house, your home. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. All right, Ira. We are sitting here, and we got a lot to say. So we'll throw it to you first, because you are the mighty sage. And the Bucks are now 7-6. They lost to the Saints 24-20. The Saints are a bad team. This was not anything special. The Bucks did not look inspired. You can't blame the weather. They're now tied with the Panthers at 7-6, atop the NFC South. They've got like no chance for a wild card now. And this is where we are, Ira.
Lee, I ask a simple question. What the hell happened during the bye week? What the hell happened? This team, I can't even recognize it as the team that smacked the Saints around 23-3 in the Superdome, a game that you attended personally. Bucks flying high, 6-2. People talking about the top seed in the freaking conference. And now, I'm not sure they're going to make the playoffs. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't make the playoffs and get swept by the Panthers. That wouldn't surprise me. Lee, I look at the TV while we're doing this podcast. I see the Rams stepping all over the Cardinals. That's what a good team does against a bad team.
Thank you.
That's what they do.
Thank you.
And, of course, they're all pissed off from losing against Carolina. But Carolina's not a bad team. They play the Arizona Cardinals. They spank them. Mm-hmm. They're never in the game. Boom. You're out of here. The Bucks don't do it. They let Arizona hang around. Almost lose that game. Lee, their play was as dismal as the weather was today.
Yeah.
I can't think of more than three or four people that played credible football today.
I don't even know about that.
I don't know about that. It started with the special teams. What the hell's going on with these kickoff returns? This is crazy. Now, that guy's a good kick returner. He is. He's got a 75-yarder this year. I understand that. And as Steve pointed out, Ira, when you're right about that guy, mention that he's from Yale. They lost to a kickoff return from a guy from Yale. That was funny. But, you know, defense, the tackling's no good. The guys are open over the middle again. And I think the offense sucked today. Grizzard, you get an F. You get an F. I'll tell you why.
There's all kinds of reasons why.
You had 7 fourth downs. You made 2 of them. Third down was even worse. You add up the third and the fourth downs. You were awful. Awful. You had no answers. The pitch out, lost 7 yards. That play had no chance.
Yeah.
No chance. Can you throw the ball downfield? Lee, how many times do I got to scream about the one time they do it, they get the flag. I don't understand what's going on. What are you going to say? The weather, you can't grip the ball.
Baloney.
The receivers can't. Baloney. Baloney. I think there's much more pressure on the defensive back under these kind of conditions than there is to the receiver. Tell me if I'm wrong, Lee. So between the special teams coach, Grizzard, and Bowles, they got a lot to answer for. This is dreadful football we're watching. They didn't play well last week. They didn't play well against the Rams. They didn't play well today. This is not a good football team right now, and I can't believe I'm saying it. They're not a good football team right now.
I think I said that last week. They're not a good football team. Once in the last six games, they played well. That was against the Saints, at least defensively. Offensively, they didn't play that well.
That's a long time ago.
I don't think this team's making the playoffs. I really don't. If they play like this, and this is very similar to the Cardinals, you know, they played, so I like to use the word flaccid. It was a flaccid performance.
Oh, I haven't heard that description in a while. Like.
No, okay. Well, I guess there's a good reason why.
Not since last Saturday night.
Come on, Isbert.
So if they play like this against the Panthers, they won't win. I don't know what's going on. Bowles, I'll just say two things I saw after I went downstairs in the tunnel before I went in the locker room. I saw two things down there. One I never thought I'd never dreamed I would see. I'll save that for last. First one, Bowles was absolutely crushed. I've seen him, you know, look bummed out after a loss before.
You told me last week he was all bummed out.
This time he looked like someone told him his dog got run over. Head hung down. His body was drooping.
After he came to the podium?
Before, when he was walking in the locker room, looked like he was walking into a wake. And after he appeared at his press conference, he's walking through the locker room to the coach's locker room. I was waiting for someone to grab him, thinking he was going to fall over. He was just drooped and head hung low. I never saw him look so depressed. And then what I never thought I would see, generally when guys leave the locker room early, those are generally, not always, generally those are not guys you want on your team. Your Swaggy Bakers, your Deshaun Jacksons, guys like that. LeGarrette Blount, although I liked him, he was famous for that. But generally guys that bolt out of the locker room immediately, those are guys, they're bad apples. The last 2 years, whenever the Bucs lose, Winfield's out the door. But if they win, he sticks around. This guy I'm going to mention right now, I never dreamed I would see it. And I just think he's just fed up. And he's out of answers. And he probably thinks he's entering the final month of his career. Levante David.
He's usually at his locker.
Absolutely. Every game. Win, loss, draw. He's always there. I've never seen him do that. And I just think he's just so fed up.
You mean early? He was out of there?
Out of there. We're all waiting for the locker room to open up, and he's out. I've never seen that before. Because last week, I wrote about two players. He was one of them. Dean was the other. It told me Bowles blew up on him. I remember, I could tell Levante was not happy Bowles did that. He even told me. He looked me right in the eye. He said about Bowles, he shouldn't have had to do that. Like he and the week prior, Levante David unloaded on his teammates. And I just think he's fed up.
You see any juice out there, Stevie?
Ira, Mr. Kaufman, first, it's not a justification of the Bucs. What I'm saying is don't start selling me the Panthers, who lost to the same Saints team by 10 points 3-4 weeks ago. So don't start selling me them as some great club.
They're playing a lot better than the Bucs are.
I'm not saying they're not playing better football. I'm just saying don't start telling me they're some special team. All right, now to the Buccaneers. The offense, they got serious issues.
Yep.
There's serious issues. Now, Tristan Wirfs didn't play today. I can't blame this on Tristan Wirfs. Chukwuma, who played in his place, actually hung in there pretty well.
Bredesen went out.
Bredesen gets a serious injury, goes out, and well, it looks like a serious injury anyway. And, you know, they're already playing with Feeney, most dangerous man in Tampa, at right guard.
I didn't see a big problem with the offensive line.
No.
But you know what? They ran the ball when it wasn't Bucky Irving running the ball. Now, he had broke that run late in the game, but before that, he was horrible. And they had the hot hands of Rashad White and Sean Tucker, who were running well. And we always hear, hot hand, hot hand. Well, they went back to Irving late in the game, and it didn't work. And Baker Mayfield, you know, yes, terrible drop by Ibuka, who has either hit a rookie wall or is just not the player we thought he was. Now, I know Lee's going to say he's the number one receiver, and that's a lot of pressure on him, and it's he's drawn double teams or whatnot. But late in the game, Godwin was getting double teamed. Ibuka was not getting open. And I'll point back to, since I've been watching the documentary, we got our advanced copies of the Buccaneers.
And it's fabulous.
Raise the Flags 10-part documentary. It's extraordinary. I can't wait to finish it off.
Wow.
It is. But you know what? We watched in 2010, we watched Mike Williams get handed the ball as a fourth-round pick, number one receiver from day one with absolutely nobody across from him. And he had a hell of a year, 11 touchdowns, 900-something yards. So it's been done before, and Ibuka's fading.
The double team has nothing to do with Igbuka dropping a ball when he's wide open.
Yeah. Right in his hands. And I'm not sure why he just didn't run through it. He turned around. Whatever it was still in his hands. But the defense, Hassan Reddick's a joke out there, an absolute joke. He got hurt, but he was a joke before he got hurt. Then he came back, and he was still a joke. I can show you poor effort from him. And they got Jacob Parrish has hit a rookie wall. It's bad. Go look at that first kickoff, the opening kickoff. Tell me what Jacob Parrish is doing on the opening kickoff. I don't even know. But they've got that was he wasn't responsible for the hole that was there. Jason Light before the game is on the Buccaneers radio network talking about shoring up covering kickoffs. And, you know, there they go.
Now playing from behind, 2 minutes into the game.
It's just not working.
What about energy?
No, they weren't the hungriest, hardest-hitting team out there. Nope. They weren't the team playing with the playoff lives on the line. And look, I said all week, the Saints have averaged 12.9 points a game of their last 7 games before coming into today. And they rolled up 24, no problem. That's ridiculous.
With 10 penalties or something like that?
It's ridiculous. They stink. Todd Bowles is in trouble. That's my opinion. I think he's in serious trouble, Ira, partially because of watching that documentary and how serious the Glazers are about winning and some of the stories that were told there. But look, this is a crushing loss for the fan base, for all that's decent in football in Tampa. You can't lose to the 2-win Saints coming in here with the joke of a quarterback and a bad team with injuries. They were playing a backup right tackle. Did we exploit that? Was the blitz coming crazy? Was anybody? Nothing. Todd Bowles is now 7-6 after starting 5-1. That's a collapse. So if it continues, that is a historic collapse. And if they miss the playoffs, all right, let's say they go 9-8 and miss the playoffs, what exactly would the Glazers be selling to the fans next year with a guy with a head coach who's already very unpopular? We stink and we're going to do it again? Or, you know, we collapsed and we're coming back for more? I mean, what would they sell? What would they sell?
I think they would use the injury bug in an inordinate amount of injuries.
That's why I initially thought he'd get a pass. I'm starting to wonder now.
I think that's going to ultimately be the deciding factor whether to keep Bowles. If there's a collapse.
If there's a collapse.
But it's not going to satisfy Buck Nation.
No.
It's not.
Like I don't know what they'd be clinging to and what they could possibly sell. Injuries? Well, every team has injuries. They themselves say every team has injuries. Yep. So what are you going to do? The Panthers have injuries.
49ers have injuries.
A lot of teams have injuries. If they close this season 4-7 and miss the playoffs, what's the spark that's coming next? I don't know. I think he's in trouble. But I think
also 9-8 would be a regression, Lee.
I think he'd be fine if he makes the playoffs. But, man, I can't imagine what would happen if they missed the playoffs.
Was I correct in my column? I think I am. That if the Bucs are swept by Carolina, no matter what else happens, they don't make the playoffs.
Correct.
If they are swept by the Panthers, they don't make the playoffs.
Correct.
What if they sweep the Panthers, correct. I guess.
If they sweep the Panthers, they're in.
They're in.
They're in.
Here's a question for you guys. It might be bigger than Bowles. It's more expensive than Bowles. Baker Mayfield's fallen off a cliff.
He's not playing well.
Next year he's in a contract year, right?
Yeah, next year's the final year of his deal.
If there was any intention of getting him signed this year, I think that's put on hold right now.
You might be right about that.
And I'm going to go a step further.
He's had a bad last month.
Yeah, I'm going to go a step further. Let's say you get rid of Bowles after this year. I'm just going to throw a name out there. Kubiak, offensive coordinator of the Seahawks. Let's say you bring him in. Do you basically tell him, okay, you got Mayfield for a year. You watch him for a year, then you tell us, bring him back or not. All of a sudden, now you're in a quarterback market.
So that's what Arians did with Jameis for 1 year.
Kind of.
He examined him.
And by the way, that guy's all over the map with Jameis. He was on Rich Eisen a couple of days ago. Oh, we were going to bring Jameis back if Brady wasn't available.
I think Baker's a lock to be re-signed this offseason. I think if he
I think if he
tails off a little bit, the Glazers would use it as an opportunity to get him cheap. I think they consider him a franchise quarterback. I think they know the fans love the guy. And
you think he's banged up?
If he's that banged up, why is he out there?
But the interception.
Wait, he's running.
I know.
The interception wasn't his fault today. Trent Green, the ex-QB on the broadcast.
Gracie's father-in-law.
He made a point to explain that was not Baker's fault. Cameron Johnson stopped on the route.
Just like the guy stopped on the route when Zion McCollum got the interception.
It's not,
yeah, same thing. Same stopped thing. On the route.
It's not Baker Mayfield's fault that Ibuka dropped a touchdown pass. That was a critical play in the game. I'm not saying Baker played well.
But at one point, Steve, he was like 1-for-10.
He's lost
in the middle of the game.
It was also pouring rain out, so that's a factor, at least in the passing game everywhere. But not making excuses, I'm just saying I don't think he's tailed off to the point where they're going to say, well, Baker, we need to see your final year. I don't think it.
Why is every pass going 4 yards? I don't understand what's going
That's
on.
That's my problem with Grizzard right now.
Does he not have any targets? Well, what's going on here?
Well, you remember the first part of the year, they were throwing downfield. I'm not saying a lot, but Ibuka had like 4 touchdowns.
Those post patterns. I mean, the guy looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Ibuka.
Here's the thing with Grizzard. I mean, I watch a ton of NFL football. I love these condensed games.
He looks very conservative right now, Steve.
Beyond conservative.
You look at the Mike McDaniel offense that Grizzard grew up under and then went to, then was with Liam Cohen. The Bucs do a lot of the same things that the McDaniel offense does with the having running backs go out wide.
Motion, yeah.
Certain motion things and stuff that just never seems to work, or it like takes players out of the play but doesn't really draw the defense with them. You'd have to see it. I see it all the time. Like, that's the weird stuff McDaniel does. The Bills do some of that as well. But McDaniel schemes the run much better than Grizzard does, so that covers up a little bit. And, of course, he did a great job with the deep threats when he had Tyreek Hill and all that. But Grizzard, here's the weird thing. I don't know if Grizzard's in trouble, because if he struggles to finish, is he going to come back? Obviously, Mayfield doesn't want yet another coordinator, but if there's a guy out there that he really likes – and that the Glazers think, well, maybe we bring this guy in. Baker likes him. He has potential to be a head coach. I don't know.
Maybe the scheme will change when Evans comes back, which could be Thursday night. Maybe.
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 A lot. It's messy.
How many times do I have to scream, throw a ball downfield, Lee? Take a chance.
I've been screaming about this for years, not just with Grizzard, but with Leftwich. I used to go nuts about Leftwich. When Bowles was head coach, will you get past the freaking sticks on third down?
Yeah, what is that? Why is that happening over and over again? Cade Otton, end of the game, short of the sticks.
You got to know where you are, Lee.
He chips the edge rusher, goes out. He's like the second or third option on the play, and he turns around. He's a yard short, and Mayfield throws it low. If he threw it high, he'd give him a chance.
And he's dropped.
But what are you doing there?
Cade Otton's playing himself out of a contract.
I think I'd take a look at Devin Culp. I think I would.
He's a downfield threat for sure.
I thought the guy showed a little something last year. A little something.
A little something. Now, you can connect the dots here. I don't know if there's dots to connect, but if you want to, feel free. In training camp, Devin Culp, the first week to 10 days, was absolutely on fire. And he got dinged up after about 10 days. He was never the same.
That's in August.
I know, but maybe that has lingered to December. Whatever reason he disappeared, maybe that has lingered.
You know what is emerging as a problem? And I can't believe I'm saying this. Bucky Irving's not running well this year.
Well, he's hurt. I mean, there was a timeout, first quarter, second quarter. I know it was the first half. There was a timeout. I'm pretty sure it was the first quarter. The entire timeout, he was on the ground stretching.
But, Lee, he wasn't running well before the original injury, like the first 4 or 5 weeks.
Not
he wasn't
great.
Running particularly
not great.
Well.
And I'll be honest with you. Steve picked up on this in Pittsburgh. Steve said they weren't running the ball well, and it reminded me when Leftwich took over in preseason. They weren't running the ball well in preseason, and I thought to myself, that's just preseason. But it never changed.
Yeah, it never stopped. Yeah.
And I think that you could
Steve,
same
I'm,
analogy
Steve,
here.
I'm not going to hold Irving to a 5.4 average from last year, but I think 4.4 is reasonable, and he's not close to it. Steve, he's not close to it. He wasn't injured the first 4 or 5 weeks. He wasn't doing anything.
No.
Well, he did catch a long pass for a touchdown.
He did.
Ira, look, Lavonte David looks like a shell of himself,
yeah.
Which is really unfortunate. You saw it on one of the Shook touchdown runs, and he just doesn't have it anymore, which is kind of sad. Not a dangerous blitzer anymore. I don't know how he's going to snap out of it on a short week. And, you know, obviously it's a huge game coming up. But
I'm going to pin this one mostly on the offense. Mostly on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, 24 points is insurmountable.
But 24 points against a team that's averaging 13 is horrible. They're that bad.
It's horrible, but not insurmountable.
Correct.
Well, the first touchdown was set up by the kickoff return. It was.
Hold them to a field goal.
The Bucs
45
yards. The Bucs can't
line.
Convert on 4th-and-1. It's a big problem all of a sudden.
It would help if they don't pitch the ball 4 yards back. That was idiotic.
I don't think they feel they can get the push from the backups on the offensive line. They can't get the push, so they don't go straight
the
ahead.
The guy came in untouched. Devin Culp is standing out there shooting to block at the next level when he's got an untouched guy in front of him. I don't know what was going on there. But
that
you
might
look
be
at
an
that
example
play,
why Culp doesn't play.
I don't know, Ira. The
crowd's dead, and the Bucks are playing dead.
Yeah, the crowd's dead because the Bucks are dead.
Ira, where do you stand on Bulls? Does this loss today change the landscape? That's really the question. Because this is a big
one. I'm
going
to stick to my guns and say that Bowles is going to be the coach in 26. But there's a very good chance that he could be on very thin ice going into the 26.
So no matter what you're saying,
I'm going to stick with that.
All right.
I'm going to stick.
You're sticking with that. You think, well, we won't jump ahead too far. We won't jump ahead too far. Today, Ira, the lifelessness of the team.
I asked Mayfield,
does that trouble
you? Did they focus on the Saints? Or he says their gaze was right on the Saints. They weren't looking ahead to anything and whatever.
Yeah, Mayfield said they had a good week, good focus during the week. Jason Light, before the game, talked about, you know, because Gene Deckerhoff said to him something like, oh, you know, you can really feel the playoffs in the air. You guys are in a fight with the Panthers, and it's December. And Light said the week of work from the team reflected that.
And Mayfield snapped at me when I mentioned the Panthers in the middle of the week.
Last week.
Yeah, how dare you?
Well, Deckerhoff said he can feel playoffs in the air. The only thing I can feel is a porta potty.
I don't know, Lee. This is on the we're on the brink of a historic collapse here. They got to get out of this.
On Pearl Harbor Day, of all places.
I don't even know how optimistic I am about Thursday. I mean, as bad as
not.
Atlanta is.
I know Steve keeps saying Cousins is bad.
It's a toss-up at this point. Who knows?
Steve keeps saying Cousins is bad. Well, Cousins was bad last year, and he still threw for 509 yards.
Now, they got burned by the quarterback running twice for touchdowns. And the guy can move for a big man, and he didn't do much through the air.
That was a terrible tackle attempt by McCollum.
But that last touchdown run, that's terrible tackling.
They didn't get it.
That should have been a five-yard loss.
You know what it was, Ira? It was a pressure. They got pressure. They pressured him.
No, it was a 13-yard touchdown.
No, they got pressure, and they flushed him. They just couldn't tackle him. Almost there. It's hard to believe, Ira. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. You got to get there. Put them in your disaster plan. You call them first, 24/7, whenever you have a disaster at your property. Water damage, flood, fire, mold, storm damage. You got storms out here today. I'm sure there's some leak issues that'll be popping up. You call them 24/7. They'll respond. They'll give you a free inspection. You can't ask for more than that from top flight experts, top technology. They come out and they do it all. Done it for many of our listeners. And if you need their services, then you move forward. So everything's free out of the gate. They are experts working with insurance. They worked on that side of the business for decades, so they know all the games that insurance plays.
Now we know a lot of people that have used them and can't say enough about them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So they've got the 5-star Google reviews. Check them out. Florida's Elite Restoration. It's no joke. When you first call, mention Ira Kaufman, and you got to be firm with it. You got to say, Ira, I heard about you from Ira. And if you need their service, they'll give you $500 back. Floridaselite.com. Don't mess around. Call them. Call him for inspection.
Let me throw one more thing at Mr. D over here.
Well, I got more to throw at you.
All right. Lee, this to me might be the worst part of all.
Mm.
The Saints didn't play well. They didn't do anything. The Saints didn't do anything to win this game.
No.
I thought so.
They didn't come. That guy had a couple of touchdown runs, the quarterback.
That's all it takes.
I didn't think the Saints were sharp. They had a lot of penalties. They turned the ball over. I don't know.
That says more about the Bucks than it does the Saints.
They ran the ball okay. You forget about his big runs. Outside,
well, his big runs helped.
But outside of his big runs, they ran the ball okay.
Okay.
And the Bucks' run defense just isn't what it used to be. And I'm sure that's a combination of Levante David and Dennis.
I didn't notice Winfield.
Well,
again.
Dennis got hurt, and they had Brewer came in.
Deion Jones. He dropped an interception.
Catch the damn ball. It was right in his
hands. Right in his hands. Now, the Saints also dropped an interception.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah, they did.
The final drive. Well, you know, and the final drive, you know, that's kind of sad. I mean, couldn't get a first down on the Saints. Baker Mayfield, magic, all this. And the one thing I wanted to throw to you, Ira, because I am so over this. I don't want to hear that the Bucs have great leadership. I don't want to hear it. That it was all summer, all spring. We got great leadership. No, you don't. You don't. It's over. Whatever leadership you had, it's got to prove itself now because it doesn't exist.
Either that or the rank and file just doesn't give a damn.
No, the leadership sucks. They didn't come. They don't come out and look like the hungriest, most physical team on the block. You don't need talent to be fired up and play like that. It's bad.
They did tie the game up, Lee, after the opening touchdown. They got one of their own, and then it was a slog the rest of the way.
I know you said, well, last week was a little more of a slog.
For the Buck offense, thank God for McLaughlin.
Steve said something that I'm going to go back to, and I'm not anti-Mayfield. But when Steve was saying, hey, you know, you had a chance, you're only down four, you got the ball. If you're the Glazers and against the Saints, you can't mount a comeback, do you really want to throw $50 million at the guy?
And last week, the Bucks had a chance to salt the game away with the lead with Mayfield. They gave it up, and they ended up making a stop, mm-hmm. the Buck defense.
Four and out.
But Mayfield could have salted that game away with a four-minute offense that controls the ball.
Which game are you talking about, Aaron?
Against the Cardinals. Mayfield got the ball with the lead
couldn't do it.
The way he's playing of late, I got to figure a good businessman like the Glazers. Is this really a good investment?
Is the shoulder bothering him, Steve? Is it bothering him?
I don't know, Ira. I just know that quarterbacks far worse than Mayfield get big contracts, and he's beloved. He's experienced.
What options do they have?
Go long. The website, golongtd.com. Tyler Dunn. They came down. They did a huge feature on Mayfield, and that popped earlier this week. And in there was really how beloved Mayfield is in the organization, trusted. And you remember how Tom Brady used to sit down with SpyTech every week to go over the player personnel reports, to get a little deeper on the scouting of the other players? Well, Mayfield has carried on that tradition, which most teams and quarterbacks don't do. And he sits down with Jason Light every week, as well as a couple of Light's henchmen. and so he's meeting with the front office every week. Obviously, you can only imagine how the relationship is there. And he's got a ton of fight in him. And I just think he's the last guy they'd get rid of.
I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm just thinking, you know, okay, everything you say is great. But when you're paying that kind of money, you expect results in the field.
Sure.
Not good community relations inside the building.
No, I understand. I'm not saying he's playing well right now. But overall, the body of the work, I think they don't think he's the problem.
Yeah, you know, he's their starting quarterback and they love him. But at some point, you know, when the game's on the line, I got to believe it's somewhere along the line. If you're going to be throwing 100, 200 billion, shouldn't you expect once in a while to have the guy come from behind against a shitty team?
I think he needs a nice night against Atlanta to have some confidence going into Charlotte. They're going to be all geared up for the Bucs game. From what I can see out here, I'm not sure how geared up the Bucs are going to be going to Charlotte.
It sure looks like if they haven't thrown in the towel, they're a step away. Seeing the body language, seeing what they look like on the field, you know, it's like, I don't give a damn attitude, blah, you know, just blah. That's the best way I can describe this team right now, blah.
I'm going to say it again, Steve, and you haven't responded to it. What the hell happened during the bye week? What happened?
I don't know.
Same thing that happened when the Bucks went to London in 2011.
Five
losses.
Five losses in seven games. I don't know what happened in the bye week, Ira. I can't answer it for you. They lost their edge. The leadership's not good. Look, I told you, I sat there in Buffalo going around the locker room. I talked to various guys after the loss on defense, and they all said, no, we're good. We're on the right path.
You mean
we're
when good. Josh Allen went crazy?
Yeah, they were good. Levante David, Antoine Winfield. Then they came out of that and got the doors blown off. And then they came out of that and were kind of lackluster against the Cardinals. And here we saw today.
Here's all, and I've said this a couple times before, that there was a problem because these things existed. And I'm going to say it again. After the New England game, Mayfield unloads on the players in the locker room, not having a killer instinct. A week later, maybe it was 2 weeks later, Levante David, same thing, halftime in Los Angeles, unloads on his team for half-assing it. Fast forward another week, Bowles goes bananas on him. In the fourth quarter, you know, you got to get your heads out of your rear ends, et cetera, et cetera. Three times in 4 weeks, leaders of the team had to unload on the players. Why is that? You shouldn't have to do that.
They might have done it today. Might have been another time.
May have done it today. We don't know of. But that tells me right there, there's something wrong with the team. I don't know what that is. This just looks like a team that's, they just don't give a damn. The rank and file. The Levante, I think, gives a damn. We know Mayfield gives a damn. Ibuka and Godwin give a damn. But,
you know, after the Rams game, Steve, the three-game slide after the Rams game, I thought they were going to get their act together. I thought they would. You know, I thought they were going to go 5-1 down the stretch. They still could, but that doesn't look likely.
No.
I think they'd be lucky to go 4-2 now, because that would be a split with Carolina.
Everything's off the table. You just lost to the Saints. Yeah. Everything's off the table. And that includes Todd Bowles' job security, whether you want to admit it or not.
There's nothing about admission. I'm just saying, I think Bowles is going to be the coach on 26. I do.
I do, too, if they can snap out of this, if they can.
Now, just to prevent people going bananas on you, Ira, on Twitter, you have your sources. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not saying you spoke with your sources, but you've had these conversations in the past with these sources.
I think he's built up enough credibility with the playoff run that he's had. Granted, the first one was 8-9. That's not impressive with a Tom Brady. It's not.
No, but still, home playoff game.
You know, but if it's a Raheem thing where, you know, you're going to lose out now, then that might force their hands.
Yeah, Lovie Smith.
But the Miami game doesn't look like a gimme. The Dolphins are playing better than they have all season. Well,
I think they won 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6. Lovie Smith, before he came to the Bucks, he had that year off in his basement where he changed the world and all that stuff. But the year prior, he coached the Bears. They were 7-1, and they finished 10-6, and they launched him. I mean, we're 5-1. He's got to finish strong here, I think.
I think the injuries are going to be a factor in their season-ending evaluation.
Oh, sure, there'll be a factor.
They
how much?
Be. I don't know. They should be.
Now, real quick. I don't know. I guess you saw Bowles because you went to his press conference, right?
Yeah.
Did it look like to you? This is what it looked like to me. He's out of answers.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it looked like he was out of answers. Kind of shell-shocked.
Yeah.
I agree.
You like that look for a coach?
Hate that look. No answers about kickoff return coverage. No answers about making a 4th-and-1.
Now, that, by the way, that's, to me, if the Glazer family is trying to decide to keep him or not, the fact that that has not been fixed, here it is, week 14, 13, and it has not been fixed, at least not completely, that's not good.
That's been a big factor in 2 losses now.
Ira, this is your 50th year in sports journalism. You've been covering the Bucks for 40 years. In your experience, does a coach who looks shell-shocked in December after a rough loss, does he last? Tough question there.
Ask me on January 4th.
Ask me Thursday night.
Bill Walsh, there was a couple games that he looked like he was done, and he rallied. I'm not saying Todd Bowles is Bill Walsh, but
I don't know. I don't like the vibe right now. I don't like it at all.
No.
It's bad, Ira. It's bad. I don't even know. I'm kind of shell-shocked myself.
After playing so badly against Arizona, you don't bounce back and play better?
Yeah.
You don't play any better the next week?
I'm going to ask you something, because right now this is topic du jour of the fans, and I don't think they're thinking this through when they say this. Oh, I bet the Bucks are regretting now not keeping Cohen and getting rid of Bowles. Bet they're regretting it now. After Cohen pulled that stunt with the Glazers, like, I want a raise, and I don't think the Glazers wanted him even as an OC. Forget head coach.
He's not doing a bad job in Jacksonville.
He's doing a hell of a job in Jacksonville. But I think after he backstabbed the Glazers, I thought they were done with him.
Yeah.
OC, head coach, didn't matter. They're
I don't think they
him.
Have any regrets regarding Cohn, because what you said, they don't like his character.
Exactly. Yeah. He backstabbed them.
Yeah. Exactly. So, he exposed his character.
But having brought that up with Cohn, have the players gotten over that? Because we're kind of grasping at straws.
Well,
what's going on
we
here?
We didn't ask that when they were 6-2. But
okay. This
looks like a different team, Steve. This looks like a totally lackadaisical.
Soft.
Undisciplined.
Soft.
Okay. Were there any big hits out there today? Anybody level anybody with some ferocity?
No.
Get the crowd into the game?
No. Isbitz has sort of touched upon this before. Jamel Dean, I was talking to him, and I said, what's going on with this defense? And he said he sort of said what Bowles has said in the recent past, that almost every play, one guy's making a mistake, and that mistake is a domino effect.
And it's always a different guy.
That's always someone different.
Always somebody different.
And he said either they're not reading the play right, we're not always reading the play right, or we jump inside, the guy goes outside, goes every play, is some mistake's happening. And Steve has mentioned this before, and I think he's onto something. That tells me you got too complex of a defense. If it's that prone to that many mistakes by veteran players, you might want to dial it back.
And I didn't think that many passes were contested by the Bucs. I thought that a lot of times guys were wide-ass open, easy throws for shot. And not that he threw for a lot of yards, but some of those third downs, the guy's wide open over the middle. It's too easy.
Big late outside completion by the Saints in this game. And, you know, the Bucs needed them off the field. to have more. They still got the ball back with a minute 48 left.
Yeah, yeah, with timeout, right?
But they needed more time, would have been better. And third down, you know, Jacob Parrish is just trailing this guy, Vele, whatever, you know, seventh round pick that they traded for.
Made a nice catch. Nice catch.
Still, he's trailing him. He looked fried. Parrish looks shot. All right. All right, let me throw this to you before we make our way out of this podcast. I know you have some final thoughts. Lee's probably
pouring
got one.
Here,
it's pouring out there. Bruce Arians goes on Rich Eisen's show last week, and he was asked about a lot of NFL things, and he weighed in on Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Obviously, Arians coached there 8 years, knows the Steeler fan base and all that, and knows Tomlin well. And he flat out said, which was kind of shocking because the coaching fraternity doesn't do that, he pretty much said, you know, I think it might be good for them to part ways and have Tomlin leave. Now, but in the course of that conversation, Arians said, you know, over time, sometimes the message just gets tuned out. Todd Bowles has been coaching the defense for 7 years. I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about the defense. 7 years as a defensive coordinator, it sure looks like it's the defense isn't working anymore or guys aren't really locked in. Could that be a situation where they're just, you know?
I think it pertains more to the head coach than a coordinator position, but I understand your point. I think he's got to streamline things, Lee. I think he's got to streamline things. He's got to really take a hard look in the mirror and say, well, what can I change here? What can I change besides personnel? I don't think he's got a lot of options with personnel.
Staff?
You know.
We saw Izzy and Moore in this game. He led the team in tackles.
Yeah, Izzy led the team in tackles. Did he play the whole game?
No, he didn't play the whole game, but he played a lot more than usual. Lee, you got a last one for Ira or a final thought, and then we'll go to Ira.
My final thought is Bucks fans might want to have some plans for January, not including the Bucks in the playoffs.
And I got to say, I didn't see this coming, Lee. I just
didn't
see
it
coming. I thought they were going to have a tough little stretch with New England, Buffalo, and the Rams. I acknowledge that. That's why I put that much onus on winning the New England game.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself a little cushion. Because I didn't think they were going to win in Buffalo or at the Rams. But these last 2 weeks, they're very disturbing. They're very disturbing.
Good word, Ira.
And the Bucks, a lot of people in Buck Nation don't like Bowles when he wins, which, you know, happened last week. But they got no juice right now. They got no juice. Squeeze these guys. Squeeze
no
a little juice.
They got no juice at the time when you're supposed to have the
got
juice.
Got no juice. And who's watching? The guys who write the checks.
You know what? I would not be surprised if there's an overhaul in this offseason.
Well, light's not going anywhere.
See, I'm talking players. You know, they see the same thing we're seeing, only they have information on who the problem child is and who isn't. And I would not be surprised if there's a lot of changes in a roster.
All right. Now, all offseason, you smacked me around for saying Atlanta opening day was a must win. So, Ira, I got to ask you this. Is Thursday a must win? Have we reached that situation?
No. No.
I will say yes.
Lee's going with you.
I will say yes, and I will also reiterate that's craziness to say week one is a must win.
Carolina and the Bucks, that's what it's going to come down to. Charlotte and Tampa. By the way, this is not a good home team. They're 3-3 at home. Well, come on, what's going on with that? You got to be 4-2, 5-1. They're 3-3. Unacceptable.
Thanks for listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast. We'll be back later in the week. And remember, 0% financing for 60 months, zero payments for 90 days, no money down. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway is Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition since 1960. Hang in there, Bucks fans.